Okay, let's try to bring out an idea here. Masechta Tmura Daf Chof Ches Amid Beis, the sugya of Muksa. Even if you don't like what I have to say, the ideas of what the Gemara says is fascinating. So that alone, it's kedai. It's kedai to discuss this in. The Gemara talks about the concept of Muksa. And there's Muksa of Shabbos. We all know Muksa. Someone here mentioned today, Muksa Shabbos. Something Muksa literally means something that's set aside. On Shabbos, it's understood something that's set aside for mundane purposes or for purposes that are forbidden. Muksa machmas iser, muksa machmas kufay, muksa machmas smios. It's not Shabbistic. It's not something which is used on Shabbos. But muksa in the Gemara, most of the time, I mean, at least in these masechtas, is an animal that has been set aside for avodah zar. Right? Everyone knows sugya muksa. You're not allowed, an animal that has been set aside for avodah zarah may not be used for a korban for Hashem. Now, we don't mean an animal that has been worshipped, an animal that someone actually has bowed down to and has worshipped, has decorated, and has done all these strange things to. That's called nevat, and has been worshipped. An animal that has been worshipped, that's a separate prohibition. Nothing was done to the animal. No one touched, it was put aside. This animal will be, there's a holiday, there's a pagan holiday that's coming next week, and we're going to take the animal, and we're going to use the animal, we're going to sacrifice it for the god, whatever it is, next week. So in the meantime, put it away. Take it and put it away in that room and lock it up, safekeeping, that it should be set aside for the avodah zarah. That is called muksa. Torah says, let's say you want...
A Jew is going to sacrifice it?
Anyone, a guy or a Jew, anyone.
The difference is, the Jew going to sacrifice it, or is the Jew going to sell
it? It doesn't matter. It was set aside by somebody, a Jew or a guy. Let's make it very simple. It doesn't matter. A Jew or a guy took the animal and set it aside. This shall be l'shem for an avodah zarah tomorrow, next week, in 3 weeks, period. Along comes a Jew, and the Jew says, I'm going today to the Beis HaMikdash, I need a carbon, can you do me a favor? I know you have in that room a very nice animal, can I, I'll pay you for it. Can you give me the animal, I'll take it with me to bring it as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. The halach is, no, you can't use it, because since this animal has been set aside for the purpose of idolatry, it may not be used as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. That is a general halacha. How do we know this? The Gemara presents, I'm going to get to that, we have a different source. But basically, we have a pasuk when the Torah says, when you in the beginning in Vayikra, when you bring korbanos, it says, min ha-bokar, min ha-tsoy, min ha-kvosim, min ha-izim, it says all the various types of animals. If you bring a korban to Hashem, from bokar, from tzon, kvosim, izim, so on and so forth, and the Gemara is disturbed, why did the pasuk have to tell us all of these words? It's obvious from the context of korbanos what type of animal one uses for a korban. The Gemara answers, each word in the pasuk is coming to exclude a certain type of animal that is unfit for a carbon. And from the words, umin hatzon, min means from the sheep, not all sheep are fit for a carbonos. There are sheep that are not fit for carbonos, referring specifically to sheep that have been set aside for idolatry. They have not been worshipped. No one lifted a finger, no one actually cut it and sacrificed it and did anything. But being that it's set aside, it's already off limits for the service of Hashem. A gzeres hakasav min hatzon. There are sheep that can be offered, but not all sheep. There's a category of sheep that's off limits. That's one pasuk. I'll tell you in a moment another pasuk. Okay, well, that's the halacha. This halacha is all over Shas. All over. You learn Gemara, you come across the halacha. What? The Gemara extrapolates. The Gemara assumes even because each compares one to another animal. That's another issue, but it's pasha. It applies to every. Even though the drasha is from the word min hatzon, it applies to oxen. Applies to all different types of animals. No limitation on the animal.
Birds too.
Birds, correct. Birds as well. And that's been set aside is an awful.
So that same pasha.
Yeah. It's a general lima that applies across the board. Okay, it's how the mechanics and how we get to animals is a separate issue, but when the day is over, from that pasuk, basically we learn all korbanos may not be offered from animals that have been set aside for avodah zarah. This idea appears everywhere in Shas. So wherever you turn, you'll come across. It's part of a long list. But I'm a nevad, a muksa, a reveya, a nirba, esnan, mechir, whenever the Gemara gives these lists, it gives a list. It'll always include the case of Muksa. It's always part of the list. Okay. Now, what do we want today? Today the Gemara presents something that is very unique, very rare, and very different. It's a very different concept. And again, if just to come to learn this is Kedai, the Gemara presents the opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, the only time an animal is called Muksa, I'm going to speak in abstract terms, then I'm going to clarify with Rash. Rashi, the Gemara is very abstract, and because the Gemara is so abstract, Rashi presents two interpretations. Reish Lakish says something fascinating. The only time an animal is Muksa, has the status of Muksa, is if it's 7 years. That's all he says. 7 years. Amar Reish Lakish, Ein Osir Ela Muksa L'Sheva Shanim. And he brings a pasuk by Manoach, which I'll get to in a moment. Rashi comes along, and what does it mean 7 years? So Rashi presents two completely different interpretations. And the truth is, each one of Rashi's interpretations is subject to debate among the Achronim, what Rashi means. So Rashi's first interpretation basically means that it was a pagan custom, and this is what he proves from pasuk in Manoach. Reish Lakish presents a pasuk by Gidon. Gidon's father. Gidon, we learn from there that it was a pagan rite. You don't just offer an animal to the idols. You first have to fatten up the animal. You don't just take a baby animal, you go to the market, you have an animal, and you go and you bring the animal to the temple, and you sacrifice it to the gods. Is that their hurts? To sacrifice any animal off the street to the gods? You have to prepare. Hachana. How do you prepare? You fatten it up. For how long do you fatten it up? For 7 years. It has to be prepared and fattened and developed and mature for 7 years, and then it's fit to be offered as a sacrifice to the gods. Therefore, law, and we find this idea, okay, now we're not going to go through the details, because that's going to take much longer. We learn this from Gidon. Hashem told Gidon, I want you to take an animal that was being prepared for Avodah Zarah, and the pasuk calls the animal that was a seven-year animal. So we incidentally learn that an animal that was set aside for Avodah Zarah is only called set aside if you plan to set it aside for 7 years. So therefore, what is the result? If I have an animal for God, my next door neighbor has an animal, and he says next week is the pagan holiday. Next week, I'm going next week to the church, to the temple, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to this Avodah Zarah, and I need an animal. Okay, here's an animal, I'm putting it aside. How long am I putting it aside for? For 1 week, because it's all I got, 1 week. Now, the Jew is going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash, I need an animal. Can I take your animal, please? I have to go to the Beis HaMikdash today, can I take your animal? Absolutely. There's no prohibition whatsoever. According to Reish Lakish, the only time an animal is halachically considered off-limits midin muktza is if the animal was set aside to be fattened for 7 years. But if the animal, what is the consequence? If the animal, the plan was to let it's usher today. Only one day, today I take the animal, I'm putting this away for 7 years. So am I allowed to use it tomorrow? No. The next day, no. Am I allowed to use it in 8 years? Let's say 7 years have passed and then they didn't get around to sacrificing. Am I allowed to use it in 8 years from now? No. Never. Once the animal has been put aside for 7 years, it's off limits. It's called muktza, and it's osur mehayon vahala. From today and onward forever. Even after 7 years pass, before they get a chance to sacrifice, it's always us, because Adrava, after 7 years, now it's ready to go. That's the ultimate moksa. That's the chiddush of Reish Lakish. Unbelievable. We're not accustomed to such a thing. Without shas, moksa means the animal's been set aside. You're gonna set aside means for 5 minutes. I'm going to go tomorrow to the temple. So that's called moksa. You're not allowed to use it. No. Reish Lakish says, no. Moksa is only where the animal is set aside for 7 years, not where it's set aside for anything less than that.
Does that mean that there were cases where the guy would set it aside for less, or is that
it appears so
assumption? every time you brought
no
it appears
it appears
automatic built-in 7 year
no it appears different. Obviously there were different customs among the non-Jews, among the different gods, the customs, but it's a pasuk. There's an inherent weakness in muksa. Because what have you done? Nothing. Designation? There's a principle in the Gemara. There's no such thing as designation for idolatry. In Jewish law, if you set aside an animal as Hegdish, this is Hegdish. Wow. It's magic. It's Hegdish. It's Kodesh. We're so brainwashed in that way of thinking that we automatically apply it to, I set it aside for Avodah Zarah. There's no such thing. You set aside something for Avodah Zarah, it's meaningless. Like, talk about Jews that convert to Christianity. There's no such thing as convert. I mean, they go off the derech. They're baptized. So they sprinkle some water. Like, they took a shower. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. Okay, Shman, in person, that's certain halachas, because he decided to become irreligious, fine, whatever the case is. But there's no religious service. The Torah doesn't recognize really anything that's been done here. I set it aside for the Zarah. It's meaningless. Along comes, he gives him more weight. It only has significance if you're setting it aside for 7 years. Oh, that's already a significant time of designation. Then it becomes forbidden for Avodah Zarah. If you only set it aside for 5 days, for 1 day, for a few minutes, that's not called muksa according to Torah, and you can use it for your carbon. And that's Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi's second interpretation is amazing. I'll give you an example of how amazing this is. You go into the store, you go into the supermarket, and you want to buy cereal. You want to buy, I don't know, you want to buy non-kosher meat. It's treif, right? It's treif. Mama's treif. What do you want? The chazer, look at the ingredients. It's chazer. The prohibition expires. It's only usur. Oh, it's written, there's an expiration date. So after selbar, so after the selbar, after the expiration date, then it's kosher. Right? It's straight, but it says it's you only sell by a certain date, and once the date passes, right? Can you imagine such a thing? It sounds like nonsense, but that's how Rashi learned the second interpretation. It's not nonsense. There's a logic to it. And Rashi's explanation is when it's Shlokish says Muksa is Aser, it's only Aser for the first 7 years. Reuven has set aside the animal for Avodah Zarah. He's going tomorrow to temple. He's going to his temple and he's going to bring an offering to his God, to his Avodah Zarah. He sets it aside. He gets into an accident. He's not feeling well, so he doesn't go to temple. And then he gets stuck and he has problems. He ends up not going for a long, long time. And the animal is sitting around doing nothing, just watching television for 7 years. And now 7 years has passed. The animal was set aside for Avodah Zarah. Along comes the Shlokish, it expired. It expired, the prohibition has expired after 7 years, and now you can take it to the Beis Hamikdash and bring it as a carbon. It's only us. Now the logic, and it's all based on the Pasuk, is that by the Goyim, they would not offer an old animal to, it's not in Zakin, it's not clear, it's very, I don't know what the real logic is. Is it something, I don't know the details. It's very hard, you have to ask people who are experts in theology of these, I don't know what, whatever it's called, whatever they do out there. But it appears in Pasuk Gidon, in Pasuk and Shoftim, this Gemara, Gemara is quoting Pesukim in Shoftim, that animals, once animals passed a period of 7 years of waiting, it was not proper to bring this as a sacrifice to the gods. And therefore, if it's not good for them, then it's good for us. It's good for you. Because the only, what's the lumbus? What's the logic? What's the logic why you can't bring an animal to Hashem? Because it's set aside for idolatry. Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe, according to either interpretation, it means that the person made a real commitment.
Correct.
To the Avodah Zarah.
Correct, right,
so
right, right.
The plan, the 7-year plan, that's a real commitment.
Yeah.
But then, once the date is passed and it hasn't done, then the commitment disappears.
Exactly. Dissipates.
Expires.
Dissipates. Okay. Now, these two ideas are all proven. They're not just out of the air. They're taken from a story in Shoftim, Perek Vav, story of Gidon. Gidon was one of the major miracles in the history of Klal Yisrael, how he was able to overcome the Midianim through a small army of 300 men. And there on the process where HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages Gidon, Hashem says to Gidon, I want your father as an idol worshiper, he has animals, I want you to take the animal and bring it as a carbon. The two interpretations of Rashi require us to completely to understand the story in Shoftim, Perek Vav, in a completely different way. What was Hashem? Which is another topic. Which is not the one to discuss now. But this idea, Rashi, has major ramifications in how we interpret the story in Shoftim Perek Vav. Halacha L'maaseh, by the way, the Rambam does not bring this down. We don't pass like Reish Lakish. We don't accept this. This is completely rejected. The Rambam passings of an animal is set aside for Avodah Zarah for 1 minute, and the plan is to sacrifice the animal tomorrow, or in 100 years, or in 50 years, or whatever it is. That's it. The animal is called Muksa, and it's Aser forever to be used for the Beis HaMikdash. So halacha l'maaseh, we don't accept Reish Lakish's 7-year halacha, not like Rashi's first interpretation, and not like Rashi's second interpretation. This is a minority opinion of Reish Lakish, which is rejected by the codifiers, by the Rambam. It's not halacha, but it's an opinion. It's an opinion of Reish Lakish. He presents this, what he holds. He would go by it. It's his opinion, and so on. Fine. But I want to just, what is the major difference between these two approaches? Does the prohibition expire? According to Rashi's first interpretation, it never expires, provided that it has been set aside for 7 years. According to Rashi's second interpretation, the prohibition does expire after 7 years if the guy does not offer it as a sacrifice.
But according to the first opinion, it doesn't go into effect right away either.
It does go into effect. That's a similar, the two different
now,
opinions.
The first one says,
you set it aside for 7 years.
But if I set it aside for 10 minutes, it's
nothing. If you set aside that, if your plan is to, when are you planning to sacrifice?
Expiration date is 7 years.
The second interpretation.
Right.
In the first interpretation, you have to designate it to fatten for 7 years. Once you designate that you're going
to
let the animal fatten for 7 years, it's forbidden for use from now for until forever. Okay? If I said I'm going to sacrifice this animal in 5 years. It's not called muksa. I can use it for a carbon today, tomorrow, whenever I want. If I decide that I'm going to sacrifice this animal for the idol in 6 years, in 5 years, in 3 years, in 2 years, that is not called designated. And I can use it immediately for a carbon for Hashem. If I decide that I will sacrifice this animal after 7 years, I'm going to let it develop for 7 years, immediately it is called muksa. Immediately I cannot use it for a carbon, and I can never, ever, my whole life use this animal for a carbon, even if 7 years pass. Because adarabah, when 7 years pass, now it's even worse. Now it's when it's really meant to be offered as a sacrifice to the God, because 7 years have passed. It's the second interpretation says nothing to do with designation of the 7 years. Once a person sets aside an animal for Avodah Zarah, it is also immediately, it's forbidden. But if the guy is lazy, or whatever, the Jew, the Sinevik, whoever set it aside, does not get around, and the animal sits around for 7 years, the animal has expired, so to speak. And it's mutter now to use after 7 years is over, the expiration is, I don't know, it's a very funny thing, like going into the store, food is non-kosher, look at the expiration date, when they're not allowed to sell it in the store, and when they're not allowed to sell it in the store, when the expiration date passes, where it's illegal for them to sell it in the store, even though they anyway sell it in the store after the expiration date, you're allowed to go, it's kosher, same thing, the guy set it aside, it's not for Avodah Zarah, expiration date passes. Now, what do I want with all this? Two different approaches. We don't pass like either approach. Now, I want to just try to connect this to the next piece of Gemara. The next piece of Gemara is, I told you, how do you know that there's a concept called muksa? How do you know a concept called muksa? So I told you the primary source. The primary source, it says, the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, all the various types of animals that one can bring as a carbon. Min ha-bokar, min ha-tsoin, min ha-kevasim, min ha-izim. The Torah gives a long list. And the Gemara says, what is this pasuk telling us? I don't need this pasuk. Go look at the parasha. Every carbon, if it's an ola, if it's a shlamim, if it's a chatas, an asham, every parasha, the Torah is very specific and tells you what to do. So why did the Torah have to generalize and give me this whole introduction? And the Gemara says, you're right, we don't need the pasuk. Every single word of this pasuk is teaching us a halacha. And when it says the word min hatzon, it's telling us there is tzon, there is a category of tzon, but min is an exclusion. Not every sheep is fit for a carbon. Min, only a subcategory. There is a category of tzon that's out of the realm, cannot be used for a carbon. The next Gemara presents an entirely different opinion. This is a very beautiful concept in and of itself, which is there's a lot to talk about. The Gemara presents another opinion. How do you know that you're not allowed to use an animal that has been set aside for the Zohar? We say this in davening every day. This is one of the most basic psukim of the Karban Talmid. Tishmeru lahakriv li bimoado. It says by the Karban Talmid that you shall guard it to offer it to me, in its appropriate time. Tishmeru, guard the Karban Talmid, the animal that's set aside for the Talmid. Tishmeru, guard lahakriv li bimoado, in its appropriate time. The Gemara makes a drasha. What does the word tishmeru mean, to guard? It's very similar to muksa. What is muksa? Set aside. What is guarding? When you guard something, what do you do when you guard something? You set it aside. It's the same concept. It's the same exact concept. Set aside. And Hashem says, when you have the karban, tishmeru li, set it aside for me, for Hashem. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yishmael makes a drasha. It's a drasha. It's not the traditional maker. Everything here is extrapolations. Drasha. Guard for me. But if you guard it, you're guarding it. It's been guarded for someone else. For Avodah Zarah? No. I don't want it. If the animal has been set aside for Avodah Zarah, that is the opposite of Tishmeru Li. Now, you have to listen. This is a very important song. You learn about Avodah Zarah. The most basic fundamental principle of Avodah Zarah is that there are parallels. The only time a person is chayiv Avodah Zarah, generally speaking, is if you have a parallel service to Hashem. What you do for Hashem, you don't do for Avodah Zarah. If you do something for Avodah Zarah that is bizarre, and it's not done, you don't have an equivalent service that's done for Hashem, you're not chayiv misa for Avodah Zarah. Not necessarily a good thing to do. There always has to be a parallel between Avodah Zarah and service to Hashem. This idea beautifully illustrates this concept. Tishmeru li, there's a concept of guarding an animal for setting it aside for Hashem, but don't set it aside for Avodah Zarah. So if you have an animal that's been set aside for Avodah Zarah, it's off limits. Now, to make a long story short, what?
Is that really true? I mean,
what?
Markolas.
Oh, that's with the derech. That's. I'll give you an example. Okay, markolas. Anything which the derech to do avodah zarah that way, to throw stones, chayiv misa. Let's say you make up. It's not the top. Let's say you have an avodah zarah. Here's avodah zarah. I'm going to decide the way I'm going to service. I'm going to jump up and down. That's how I'm going to serve the avodah zarah. No one does this. Right. There's no guy in the world. Sorry, is there a chiyuv misa for jumping up and down to serve the avodah zarah? No. Why not? Because the goyim don't do it. Number two, there's no equivalent jumping up and down for Hashem. That's the idea. There's no equivalent. But let me say, Markolas. Does anyone offer sacrifice to Markolas by the goyim? No, unheard of. No one. Valparoso. No, let's. I don't know really ever. But let's assume the way you serve Markolas, you put stones on top. There's no guy in the whole world that offers a sacrifice to Markolas. No one does such a thing. I, the Jew, come along, take an animal and sacrifice it for Markolas. Is there a chiv misa?
Yes.
Why? Because there's a parallel. There's a parallel by Hashem. That's what I want to bring out. Now, here also. You have this idea, tish muksa. Muksa is a very strange idea. Setting aside for the zar disqualifies it. Well, we have this idea, tish li. The Gemara says, li, don't set it aside for avodah zar. Now, to make a long story short, many mafarshim. This is a long. They are very excited about this Gemara about tish li because they asked the very basic question: why does Rabbi Yishmael present a second source for the prohibition of muksa, when we know throughout Shas, this sugi appears at least 10-20 times throughout Shas, the reason why muksa is forbidden is because of the words min hatzon. It says in the introduction to the parasha of Kamanas, min hatzon, which means not every sheep is fit for Hashem. There are sheep that are not fit, and it's coming to exclude sheep that have been set aside for Avodah Zarah. So if we have the pasuk min hatzon, why does Rabbi Shmuel have to tell us, you want to know why muksa is aser? Because it says the pasuk tishmeru li v'lo avodah zarah. Why do you need two psukim? It's a long list of answers. long list, lomdish answers, technical answers. Everyone gets very excited with this. I have a lot of very nice answers to give to answer this question. Why we have two psukim teaching us the same thing? Only point I want to make is as follows. There are two dinim. From these two psukim we learn there are two dinim, like a lomdish, like a rabbi, and there are two dinim in muksa. An animal that's been set aside for avodah zar, why is it off limits? Two problems. Number one, it's favo de zara. That's number one. It's already occupied. Number two, it's not been set aside for Hashem. Why can you take this animal? There's a positive and there's a negative. Min hatzon is a negative prohibition, a negative aspect to the reason why you can't use the animal. You know why you can't use the animal? Because it's just min hatzon. There are sheep which are fit, and there are sheep which are not fit. Why is that sheep not fit? Because it's already been taken up. It's already been occupied by the other side, by the other forces, by the avodah zarah. But there's another element of why muksa is forbidden, because Hashem says it has to be for me. You're missing the positive. An animal that's been set aside for avodah zarah is missing the positive element that by setting it aside for avodah zarah, you are denying the fact that it's being set aside for me. There are two dinim. There's a din of min hatzon, and there's a din of tishmeru li. One exclusion excludes muksa because it's just already taken up. It's taken up by someone else. There's another reason, because you don't have in muksa, an animal that's been set aside for the zara is missing the positive aspect that it's not miyuchit for Hashem. I'm splitting hairs. An animal that's set aside for the zara, there are two problems. Number one, it's not set aside for Hashem. Number two, it's already taken up. It's taken up by an avodah zarah. Each one can be viewed independently. So I want to suggest that is the two different sides of Ra. What will be a nafkamina between these two different approaches? What's the elu the el divir lokim chai? Both characteristics are true. But what's the ikar? What's the ikar? Even though both ideas are true, which of these two is it? What's the primary reason why an animal that set aside for the zara is not fit for a carbon? Is it because it's missing the positive element that it's not for Hashem? Or is it because it has the negative element that it's set aside for avodah zara? What would be a nafkamina? The nafkamina would be if the prohibition expires, if it dissipates. If you focus on the negative, you know why this animal is not good for carbon? Because someone already, it's occupied, it's taken. Taken. It's taken, someone else already got to it. Okay, if that dissipates, the other person, the other force, the other thing goes away, oh, okay, it's no longer occupied. Okay, you can come now into the Beis HaMikdash, you can come as a carbon. But if the ikur is that it's missing the positive, it's li Hashem, I want this to be to me, once for a small period of time, for 7 years, it's been occupied by avodah zarah, that permanently scars the animal, this is not an animal that has the, that's li, that's for me. Because being that there was a point in time where it was miyu, it was taken by the avodah zarah, it's not li, it's not mine. It's not something that you can say is li. What?
Li never kicked in.
Li was rejected. It was rejected. It's true, it was never, but you see, you can't say that this animal, every animal that smokes again has two problems. Number one, it's taken up. It's min hatzon, v'loy koltzon. One, log kolt, min hatzon doesn't tell me anything positive. It just says, it's taken up. It's there's minats, there's good sheep, and there's not good sheep. Why is the other sheep no good? Someone got to it. So when that other person will release their hold on it, it will come back into the set of min hatzon. So that would imply that it's possible for the prohibition to expire. Right now it's set aside for avodah zarah. 7 years have passed. 7 years have passed. That's it. It expired. No longer is the Avodah Zarah interested in the animal. So now we can take it back inside. We can take it back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if you focus on the positive element, that the reason why it looks like it's forbidden is because once it has been set aside for the Zarah, you have permanently damaged this Mila of Li. Tishmeru, guard the animal for Li. I want it to be guarded for me. If at one point in time in its history it was guarded for Avodah Zarah, you can never repair that damage. Even though now it's no longer being guarded for Avodah Zarah, it's still not called Tishmeru Li, because this is a positive requirement the Torah requires. So that's all I want to suggest, is that we have two psukim. The two psukim really are two sides of the same coin. Every muksa has a negative problem and has a positive problem. The negative problem is that someone else got to it, so Hashem doesn't want to compete with someone else. You want to have Avodah Zarah, so don't bother me. The other is, no, Hashem wants you to elevate it. It should be elevated. The elevated is guarded for me. You want to go and reject the elevation for me by going and guarding it for someone else? It's no longer good. These are two true aspects that cannot really be divided. What is the ikar of the two? If the ikar of the two is the mina behema, then it's logical that only when is it not mina behema? There's mina behema. There's 90% is good, 10% is no good. Okay, but that could expire, that can change. Well, it will change when it's no longer going to be from that set, because that set already gave up. It comes back into the mina behema. Then in a chanami, the prohibition can expire. But if you focus on the positive element which the Torah wants, tishmeru li, and you now took this animal and you guarded it, it was guarded for Avodah Zarah, you have permanently damaged the tishmeru li. That's something which you can't. Then you have to focus. Then that's why a first interpretation of Rashi of the 7 years is that once the animal says for the Zara, it's permanently forbidden for the purpose of a carbon. So that's what I want to bring out, is these ideas. This idea of just at least the Gemara's idea. There's an idea, even if you don't like how it all fits together, but at least just the Yisodas. There's something called Muksa. There's a Chiddush of a Reish Lakish that says 7 years. It comes from Perek Vav and Shoftim of Gidon. There are two interpretations of Rashi what this means. According to Rashi's second interpretation, we have a fascinating idea that a prohibition expires after 7 years. We have two psukim to teach the prohibition, and we have to also acknowledge that the Rambam rejects this. We don't pass like this of Reish Lakish, not like the interpretation of Rashi. And we have to understand that there are two different sources for the prohibition of muksa: the source of Minatzon and the source of Tishmeru Li, which is a self-fascinating idea. We say this davening every single day. These are two different characteristics of muksa. It's a negative min hatzon v'loy kol tzon, and then there's the positive element, has to be li. And we can suggest that these two, whatever the ikar, will be a nafkamina in which approach you go with Rashi. The first approach is permanent. That's the positive tishmeru li. The negative min hatzon, just technicality. It's not min hatzon. It expired. No, it came back to be min hatzon.